Hey there! You are listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming at KMUZ.org. This is where Marion and Polk Soil and Water Conservation Districts and OSU Small Farms Program shine a light on partnerships and programs that conserve our beautiful natural resources in the Willamette Valley. We're illuminating our collective mission of conserving soil, water, and natural resources for urban and agricultural audiences in the Willamette Valley.
I'm your host, Heath Kerstedt, Communications and Education Specialist with the Marion Soil and Water Conservation District. I've been working at the district for about a year and a half now, and during that time, we've experienced a number of staffing changes and additions, making this episode of the Conservation Spotlight the perfect opportunity to introduce our team to you and discuss what services and resources we offer. Today, I'm here with the district's conservation planners and our native and invasive plant specialists. And with that, let's dive right in. First, let's do a round of introductions. Could you each share your name, pronouns, job title, how long you've worked at Marion SWCD, and a little something about what you were doing before you started working here? I think I'll get us started with Becky.
Hi, I'm Becky, and I am the Agriculture Conservation Planner, and my focus areas within that are livestock issues. So that could be pasture or manure management and mud or other issues that you might have on your agriculture land dealing with livestock. In my job before this, I was a high school agriculture teacher, an FFA advisor.
And next, I'll scoot us over to Sarah.
Hi there. My name is Sarah Hamilton. My pronouns are she, her, hers. I'm a native and invasive plant specialist at the district, and I've been here for over 5 years. Prior to joining the team at Marion SWCD, I was an invasive plant specialist at Clackamas Soil and Water Conservation District. And before that, I worked on a restoration crew. I conducted forest surveys. I worked with spotted owls.
Next, we'll move over to Cassie.
My name is Cassie Roost, and I am the Urban Areas Conservation Planner. I've lived here in the Salem area for the past 9 years and consider myself to be a proud Salemander. I've worked for Marion SWCD, though, since this past January, so going on about 6 months now. And prior to the district, I've worked in various roles both in and around the Salem area, such as a conservation projects planner, an environmental educator, and a landscape gardener for both private landowners, local schools, and a country club located in Salem.
All right. Thank you, Cassie. Next, let's hear from Chelsea.
Hi, I'm Chelsea Blank. I'm the Natural Areas Conservation Planner for Marion SWCD, and I have been on this team since December, so I'm fairly new too, but getting the hang of it. And before I joined the team here, I took some time off to do a long hike on the Pacific Crest Trail. Before that, I was working at City of Beaverton in the Public Works Department doing landscaping and urban forestry. And before that, I was doing landscaping for natural areas at an HOA in Lake Oswego, and I've also done some riparian restoration work on a crew in Washington.
Finally, last but not least, we have Caesar with us. Caesar, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, I'm Caesar Zamora, and I just got started with the district about 2 months ago. My pronouns are he, him, and his. I am another agriculture conservation planner, except my focus is in soils and croplands. Prior to working with Marion, I was a grad student at OSU, and I recently graduated with a master's degree in soil science.
So 4 of you are conservation planners. Could one of you explain, maybe Chelsea, in a nutshell, what it means to be a conservation planner, and what do you all have in common?
Yeah, so as a conservation planner, we are the staff who go out into the field to help folks with technical assistance whenever they have concerns about their natural resources. And this is people who are landowners, but also folks who are in urban areas who may be renting, who may have concerns about a creek near their house, something like that. So we can help them get advice for whatever concern they have, as well as financial assistance for conservation projects. So we are kind of the connectors for individuals to get resources they need to help them with their goals. So even if we aren't able to get them a direct answer or financial assistance through one of our programs, we can direct them to the contact or resource that can help them better. We all have a background in natural resources of some kind. So we each have our specialty area that we focus on, and we're able to balance each other's strengths really well when we can work together, especially. So what we all have in common, I think, is a passion for nature and ecosystems, whether it's animals like wildlife or livestock, soil microbiology, water, plants, pollinators. And I think what we all really want to see is improvements in natural resources that we all share.
So Becky and Caesar, you are both agriculture conservation planners. Could you explain what distinguishes your positions from each other? For example, what kinds of questions or concerns should community members contact each of you about?
Well, I'll go ahead and start. So like we talked about in our introductions, Caesar's focusing more on croplands and soil, and I'm going to be focusing more on livestock-related issues. For example, a question that you might have as a producer if you are working with me and the livestock side could be maybe you have, which is really common in the Willamette Valley here, an issue with mud with your livestock. And so I could come out and help you with mud issues that you might be having with your animals. Also things like manure management. If you have just a manure pile and maybe it's even close to a waterway of some sort, then I can help come up with a plan to make managing that manure a little bit better for the environment. Also, if you might have issues with your pastures, I can give you advice on setting up a rotational grazing system or improving your pasture so that you have better feed for your animals.
What about you, Caesar?
Right. So like Becky said, I'm focused on soils and croplands. So most of the issues are going to come back to, well, your soils, really. If you have questions, say, around erosion, I'm a good resource to come and talk to. If you're having big issues with weeds in your field crops, come talk to me as well. Water use is a big one. So if you want to move on from, say, a big watering system to a more conservation-focused system, such as a drip system, you come talk to me. And then our big issue would be erosion control.
Chelsea, your position as Natural Areas Conservation Planner is a new one for the district. What are natural areas and how do you help people conserve them?
Some of the areas that I'm able to focus on in natural areas, I know that's a really broad term, but some of the main ones that we have in our county include riparian areas like streams and rivers, forestry and woodlands, wetlands, oak woodlands or savannas, prairies, and I've recently been getting a lot of folks reaching out about pasture renovation as well. So a lot of the issues that I see in natural areas are concerning invasive plant species, water movement in maybe undesirable ways that can lead to erosion, and just a general desire to improve wildlife and pollinator habitats. So what I can do is I can help folks by giving them some advice, especially on vegetation. So what type of vegetation they have in their area, if they need more native plants, where they should go, if they have invasive species that they need to manage, I can get them the resources to learn how they can get started with that. I can also help them with a financial assistance through our conservation assistance grants. So that's a cost share reimbursement program that we offer in the district. And this is kind of, I would say, the bread and butter of especially my position as a planner. So we help folks a lot with that program to get funding for their conservation projects. We offer the CAGs, is what we call them, 3 times a year, so 3 different cycles, and the deadlines change per year. But we post the deadlines on our website, so all the information can be found on our website. And so, like I said, it's a cost share reimbursement program. So we reimburse up to 50% of the total project cost with a maximum award amount of $7,500 per fiscal year. And that is available up to 3 years in a row if they go for that maximum $7,500 amount. or until they reach that 22,500 maximum award amount within a 5-year rolling period. So yeah, as long as the landowner can provide, you know, records of their own contribution, that's 50% of the total project cost, we reimburse the 50% that they can provide receipts for.
Okay, Cassie, I know there are a lot of folks in the area who are excited about us having an urban conservation planner. What are some of the ways you plan to serve the urban residents of Marion County?
There's a lot of ways that I'm excited to support the urban community. Some examples would be just being available for on-site technical support as needed. So if people have concerns on certain natural resources challenges or looking for creative ways to promote more sustainable land use, I could be available to help provide tailor recommendations for site-specific needs. I'm also really excited to dive into providing more educational opportunities. So lots of hands-on workshops, tours, presentations, just to help raise awareness on ways that people can become involved with urban conservation-related practices. Some topics could include ways to improve soil health, implementing green infrastructure such as rain gardens to manage stormwater, or exploring alternatives even to traditional lawns to help save water and create wildlife habitats. And the last thing that I'm really excited about is I am working on developing an urban and residential habitat improvement program. This will be a certification program that's inspired by the successful Backyard Habitat Initiative in Portland. But this will be a program that will be specifically tailored and available to urban residential areas within Marion County. The primary goal of the program is to help inspire community members to get involved in creating wildlife-friendly landscapes, help enhance biodiversity, and it will be located within the developed areas. So, you know, like yards, gardens, schools, and parks. And the program will just be chock full of resources and guidance and incentives even to help support wildlife species such as birds and pollinators. Not available just yet, but I am really excited for that to be available. And my hope is to have a small pilot program launched this fall.
Sarah, as a native and invasive plant specialist, you play a slightly different role from the conservation planners. Could you explain what the goals of your position are and how you accomplish them?
Yeah, so the purpose of my position is to help people connect with the ecology of the Willamette Valley. So we have a lot of native plants, we have a lot of invasive plants, and my job is to teach people about both of them. And that includes everything from teaching classes or doing site visits where I can walk on your property and teach you to identify the native plants that are on your property, as well as providing information on how to manage invasive plants and what to do once you've managed them. So I assist folks with managing invasive plants, but I also work on kind of the larger scale around especially invasive species in our area. I work with partner organizations on these landscape level weed control projects that manage priority invasive species. So that's another part of what I do. I work on a team to bring about to plan the native plant sales that we have. We have several a year. I assisted with the development of the website, which has some really cool resources on it, including the plant directory where you can look up what native plants to plant where. You can get assistance in identifying the invasive plants that might be on your property. You can learn about both native and invasive plants and kind of just get a good feel for what's out there. And then I also respond to the Oregon Invasives Hotline, where folks can report invasive plants that they might have on their property or see when they're around town. Depending on how high of a priority those are, I either direct those accounts to the proper authorities or give people information on how to manage them. I love going on plant walks. I love talking plants with folks. So get a hold of me if you have a group that needs to learn more about plants, if you have a property that and you have some invasive plants running amok, or if you just want to get some more information.
Next, I want to see if there are any initiatives of the district that you all are really excited about. Who'd like to share about an initiative?
I have one that I'm really excited about. So a new initiative that we got started a couple years back that's recently become a permanent initiative is our cover crop initiative. So this is an incentive-based initiative that our board have recently built it to make permanent. Our focus with this initiative is to get bare soil covered with crops. That way we can stop stuff like soil erosion and improve our soil health. Now, I'm really excited about this because it's an incentive-based program, which is different from our other programs, which tend to be reimbursement-based. So in this one, if you're going to be newly establishing a cover crop, we can actually pay you some amount to help you along with that to get you to continue putting in these cover crops.
That's so cool. And what's the application time frame for that?
They are open right now through our website, and the applications close on October 31st.
So people should submit their applications to get some funding for cover crop.
In this program, it is set up, like Caesar said, it's set up a little different than our regular grants. You would make the purchase for your seed, and then once it is established and we can see some growth, we would come out and do a site visit and make sure that it has established. At that point, you fill out a little bit of paperwork that's pretty minimal, and you can get paid 50% of our amount that we have allocated. And so what we have is there's a base rate that you can get paid per acre for a cover crop. And that base rate depends on a few different things. So it can depend on the type of tillage and planting that you're doing. It depends on the number of species that you're planting. And so I think the highest amount is $25 per acre. And so after we see that establishment, then based off of that scale that's already been developed, we would be able to pay you 50% of your total. And then in the spring or very early summer, once your cover crop is terminated, and then we fill out a couple more little pieces of paperwork, then you get the rest of your payment. So that other 50% is paid out upon termination. We recently at the district approved that it was going to be a permanent program. So previously, it had been a pilot program. Mm-hmm. And so it had been done before. But just recently, our board very graciously decided to make it a permanent program, which we really appreciate, because now we have that solidity so that we can get outreach done and communicate better about the opportunity of our cover crop program.
So listening to this interview, people might get the idea that Marion Soil and Water Conservation District only serves landowners. Can you describe some of the ways Marion SWCD engages Marion County residents that don't rely on land ownership?
Yeah, there are quite a few ways that the SWCD engages non-landowners throughout the county and actually further away from just the county. So we have a really extensive education and outreach component to our district. And within that, there are several projects or programs. And so some of those could include Conservation Club, where it would be a longer event, maybe like a tour or a workshop. We've had an oak and prairie tour. We've had a succession planning event for producers. We've had a fire resiliency workshop to provide information and education and outreach about specific things in a little more detail. We also host First Fridays, and that's one that's held virtually the first Friday of almost every month. And we, throughout the year, talk about different topics. So it could be anything from yard waste and food waste, getting those recycled or composted. It could be about solarization and using that as a way to kill weeds.
I was just going to say that we also have volunteer opportunities for folks that want to get involved in the work that we're doing at the district or some of our partner organizations. They can reach out to us and find out what opportunities are available.
And we have some coming up. For example, we need volunteers, many volunteers, to run our Salmon Watch program. And so that's a field trip program for fifth grade through 12th grade, really. And we go out to Packsaddle County Park in Gates, Oregon, and we go there when the salmon are spawning, and the kids learn at four different stations. And so we can train you up and you can help us reach the kids and give them this really amazing experience.
And it's fun. I got to volunteer for Salmon Watch last year. on one or two of the field trips, and it was a lot of fun. And I don't really know a lot about the Salmon Watch program or the things that we were needing to teach. However, there is a training day that you can go to if you want to volunteer, and there you will learn all of the things you need to know to be able to teach at the field trip.
That's right. And even if people can't attend the training, I am happy to give them one-on-one training on any one of those stations so that they are ready to go, because we love volunteers. Do you have any tips or advice for people who might be interested in a career in conservation?
Yeah, I'll take that one. Especially on the note of volunteer opportunities, that is actually my biggest recommendation I would make to someone who has an interest in finding where they might fit in a conservation career. If you get involved with an organization that resonates with your interest, you'll really get a better understanding on how they operate, get that hands-on experience, and truly understand all of the possibilities that you could fit in with the bigger picture of conservation. I recommend this. It's a tactic that really worked well for me. Prior to getting hired here at the district, actually, I was a Salmon Watch volunteer, which was amazing. I also got to be involved with the native plant sale that happens once a year, soon to be more. And I also got involved with just different services that the district offers, such as the Conservation Assistance Grant that we talked about earlier. And then there's also these amazing educational program bins that you can check out as well if you're an environmental educator. And just with all these experiences, I felt like I really gained a lot of knowledge about the organization, who my team would be that I'm working with. And most importantly, I think it really helped establish a meaningful presence within the organization, so people knew who I was. So my biggest advice to you is really get out there, get involved, and get active in the kind of work that you see yourself in. That way people can put a face to your name.
Finally, we're getting down to our last question here. And this one is for each and every one of you. What is one change each of you would encourage people to make in relation to the work you do?
Well, I would definitely encourage people just to learn how to identify plants in their area and get familiar with the characteristics, especially of native plants and invasive plants, like Sarah was saying. I mean, that's so important, and it's really shocking once you realize the importance of native plants in their native ecosystems and how much wildlife depends on it and how many services they provide to an ecosystem, and how many invasive species are present and outcompeting the native plants. So for me, I just think that's something that has allowed me to feel more connected with the natural world. So I think that's definitely my piece of advice for folks.
How about you, Cassie?
One change that I would suggest sounds a little cheesy, but plant more flowers. Planting flowers in your own yard, whether even if you have a small urban lot or a little balcony garden, really can do a lot to help support our diversity of pollinators that we have here in Oregon. It really doesn't take much, but providing, just long seasons blooms and lots of flower options you have available really can go a long way. And if you're interested actually in learning more about pollinators, we do have a symposium coming up at the library in Salem, and it will be on October 21st. So mark your calendars if you want to learn more about pollinators, and there will also be some native flowering bulbs available for sale as well. And those can be pre-ordered in advance, so we hope to see you there.
What about you, Caesar?
Yeah, I would recommend people go out and really play in the dirt, if you will. Go learn about your soils. Soils are super important for pretty much every aspect of human life out here, whether it's growing plants or building on them. So go out there, dig a big old hole, get a bit dirty, and look at the soil.
I love it. What about you, Becky?
This has been a really hard question for me to figure out, because especially with the livestock production, there's so many things that you could do to make changes. Some of them could be pretty small, like putting a gutter system on your barn, to maybe something a little bit bigger, like having a composting facility for all of the horses that you have with all of the manure that they make. And we get a lot of questions about what to do from small scale producers to large scale producers. And I'd say the one thing that I can think of that would maybe make the biggest impact is just knowing how many animals you could actually have on your property and have your land still be good and have it be well. And I know that personally, that's something that's really hard for me and my family too, because you get attached to your animals and you want to keep having more and more and more, whether it's for, you know, like my family shows our animals. And so we always want to like try to keep the best ones and we just keep multiplying and getting more and more. Or some people have them as pets. And so I think that is maybe the biggest thing is figuring out how many of your type of animals can actually be on the amount of property and the type of property that you have, the type of land, and have the land still do what it can do and what it should do. So I think that's the biggest one for me.
And is that something they should contact you to figure out, you know, what that number is?
I can help you with that. Mm-hmm. And I can help figure out if your land, like there are certain things that I would look for to know if your land can handle the number of animals that you have. The biggest one is to look at what your pastures look like and also to see how much mud you might have. Really, for me, the best time for a site visit might be in the winter time when we have so much rain around here. And if I can actually see mud issues that you have, there are some tips and tricks and techniques that we have to help control mud and to help make your pastures better. But really, if you try to get the right number of animals that your land can handle, I think that would be a good starting point.
Sarah, how about you?
Control your invasive species. So weeds have a huge impact on our natural areas, on our parks, on our neighbors' properties. And the more we can get out there and manage things like ivy and blackberry, those common weeds, as well as the higher priority weeds, the ones that are a little less common on the landscape, the more we can protect those natural areas that we all love and the wildlife that depend on them. So learn about weeds, go on our website and learn about them, give me a call and learn about them, but just learn how to identify them and also how to manage them. Every weed is managed differently. They all have different requirements. There's different ways to manage them. And so learn about weeds, figure out how to control them as best you can, and keep our Oregon healthier.
Excellent. Thank you all so much. And thank you, listeners, for taking some time to share the light with us. We're grateful for a community of conservation-minded folks who know the importance of partnerships. If you would like more information about any of the topics covered today, please visit the Marion SWCD website at marionswcd.net. Also on our website, you will find information about our upcoming events. In particular, we'd love to see you at the Community Salmon Watch Day on September 23rd at Packsaddle County Park. We'll have experts on hand to talk with you while we watch Chinook salmon spawning in the river. It's an experience of a lifetime. And if you'd like to start or add to your own pollinator garden, hop on our website to place an order for native flowering bulbs, which can be picked up at the October 21 Pollinator Symposium. That's www.marionswcd.net. If you liked what you heard on the Conservation Spotlight today, tune in to KMUZ at 88.5 and 100.7 FM on the third Wednesday of every month at 8 a.m. during Willamette Wake Up. In October, we'll talk with Luke Westfall of City of Salem about backyard buffers. Thank you for listening and keep your light shining.